You got to accentuate the positive. I feel good. A little bit of feel good goes a long way.
You're listening to Karen Swain, teacher of deliberate creation, accentuating the positive, showing you a way to a better life.
Accentuating the positive, it's not just fad, it's sanity. Who in their right mind would accentuate anything else?
If you feel like that's what you want to do.
Hello, hello. Karen Swain here. Welcome to another show, Accentuating the Positive, Expanding and Awakening Consciousness. Well, this is my first live on the United Public Radio Network and the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. And I'm so excited. I'm actually a little nervous. I'm actually very nervous. I don't know why. I'm using a new platform, got all these tech things that I'm doing. So please forgive me if I get it wrong, but I've got the fabulous Michelle, who's an expert at all this, on tonight to help me. And we're going to have a fabulous conversation tonight about all sorts of things. We already started chatting about it, except that I kept going back to the tech questions for the first live stream. But I'll bring Michelle on in a minute. I wanted to introduce myself because I've got a bit of a new audience tuning in tonight. Michelle's streaming on her platforms, on her YouTube channel and her Facebook pages as well. So I'm Karen Swain, and I was on Dolly and Preston's The Lightgate Show recently on this network. And they, you know, Dolly's like really enthusiastic and says, why don't you join the network? Why don't you join the network? So I checked it out and I thought, this is so cool. This is so fantastic. Reaching so many people across the world with these conversations. I was really excited to join the network. I've been showcasing New World teachers for around 25 years, starting in my 30s when lots of psychics told me that I'd be talking to millions of people. And I was really, really shy as a young girl and a kid, actually. But I kept having these psychics come up to me and tell me, you know, your future. I don't know if any of you have done that. And I'm like, that's never going to happen. That's never going to happen. And then I joined a group, it was the year in the late 90s, and they had, you know, we spoke about all these sorts of things, and they were asking for a facilitator to introduce the guest and do a meditation and all that sort of thing. And I thought, well, if I'm going to stand in front of people and talk, I better get over this shyness and start practicing. So I practiced in that little group and, you know, introducing spiritual teachers and experiences, and we would do a meditation, have cups of tea and biscuits afterwards. It was fabulous. And then it turned into me starting on radio and then podcasting, and now here on the UFO Paranormal Network and the United Public Radio Network. And I think we're streaming on the radio network out of New Orleans. Well, I don't think. I know we're streaming 107.7 FM and 105.3, right, Michelle? Got it right, which is exciting. A syndicated radio network, very exciting. So I'm not going to go too much into myself. I've been interviewed on 5 shows this year, actually. So if you want to check me out and some of my experiences, go over to my website, karenswain.com, and you'll see Karen in the media and you can hear my story. It's funny when you go on people's shows, you repeat your story over and over again. It's a long story. I'm old now. It's a long story. But, you know, I've been talking to my guides my whole life. Didn't know it was my guidance, called it my common sense when I was young. And then started, you know, healing people, went into naturopathy, didn't see anything I wanted, thought was going to change the world, started doing energy healing work and started having channeling, lots of stories there, but basically expanding my psychic awareness. And now I've got on tap all the time, who I very reverently call the mob, who is my spiritual team or a stream of consciousness that oversees this world and the upliftment and evolution of this world, helping, nurturing, activating, accentuating, acclimating, accelerating the New World teachers, who I call the New World teachers. Not necessarily someone that puts a shingle on the wall, but someone with an experience. The communicators are very, I think Michelle had Susie Hansen on her show. She talks about the 3 waves of volunteers, which Dolores Cannon made very famous. The communicators are a really big part of the New World teachers. So these are people with experiences who get over their shyness and come on podcast shows or in writing and share their experiences. These are all part of the people who are expanding the consciousness and awakening the consciousness of this world. So I just thought I needed to do this on radio to get it out there, and that's what I'm doing. I'm not going to go too much more into it. I'm going to bring on the fabulous Michelle. Hello, Michelle.
Hello. Hello.
Oh, welcome to the show. This is so exciting. I know that many of you have seen Michelle a million times before, and I was staying up. It's morning here in Australia. I'm in Sydney, Australia. It's morning here in Australia. So I was up all night watching Michelle on her fabulous show, The Outer Realms, last night. I watched a bit of your Susie Hansen interview. I think that you played that again recently. Love Susie.
We did. Yes. Yeah. She's just lovely. She was a joy to spend an evening with, because, as you know, I always hate to say interview, because it's just always like sitting down with friends and mm-hmm. just having a discussion. And she just made it so easy.
Yeah, it's a conversation. I love that this is talk radio where we get conversations, because a lot of podcasters, people think that when you're interviewing someone, you just sit back, you fire questions at people, and you sit back and you let them talk, which is kind of what I do. Right. But I love to have these conversations. Like, I've got stories to share, you've got stories to share, I've got opinions, you've got opinions, so we like mix it up. And right. you do that on your show. Actually, yes. all the shows I've been watching on the network are doing that. They're conversations, and I love that. I love that.
Yes.
For my audience that don't know about you, let me just read Michelle's bio, because she's amazing. She's been doing amazing things, and we're going to have a great conversation today. So Michelle's been a professional been professionally and actively researching the unexplained and successfully working in media for the past two decades, with her area of study focused primarily on the paranormal, specifically on malevolent hauntings and attachments, which I've spoken about on the show before with Bonnie and what was Bonnie's last name? Quite a few people on, and we're going to go into that today. She's highly versed in many subject matters within her field. And as an extraterrestrial experiencer, I want to know about that too, Michelle, has expanded her knowledge into including ufology and other areas considered high strangeness. As an international public figure, she's often called upon by the media to advise, create, and consult for television and other related media. She is a co-producer of the very popular radio show, The Outer Realm, and obviously manages this platform as well. She's been helping me with all the tech, to which she co-hosts with her friend and teammate, Amelia Pisano. Hope I got Amelia's
name. You did. You did.
Michelle has a passion for old world, ancient history, and architecture, combined with her love for travel. And she considers herself to be an explorer of all that would be deemed as otherworldly. Not only did it lead her on incredible journeys of exploration into locations that she's always dreamed of visiting, but it opened doors to ventures into locations that others have been denied access to. And you've got a website, which is your name, MichelleDeRoche.com. Mm-hmm. But mostly people can find you on your Facebook pages and your YouTube channel. I noticed you've got a Facebook page, which I found last night. Where is it? Canada's Most Haunted.
That's one of them. That's more of the research investigation page. It's just been there for so long. We just leave it. Usually, I mean, you can find The Outer Realm or just... I'm not on social media a lot due to my schedule, unfortunately, and it makes it really hard for communication. The website is always good to just email me. It makes it a lot easier. So, but yeah, it does well. There's a couple of those pages, I think.
Yeah, you've got quite a few things going on. You've got a few things going on. You're a bit like me. You start all these pages. I've got a million social media pages. I don't even know how many platforms I'm on now. But I'd love to know a bit about the extraterrestrial experience. What happened?
Oh boy. Well, it goes back quite some time, because I now think back to the experiences I had as a child and always seeing things and sitting, looking at the night sky my mother would often say, you know, you'd spend hours just looking at the night sky, because back then, and I am aging myself, there were no satellites. So when we saw something zip across the night sky, we saw something amazing zipping across the night sky. And as time went on, I think I've had experiences. Now I recognize them for what they are throughout my life. And probably about four years ago, when I moved, well, I won't say when I moved. I mean, we had things coming over the house even before I moved, and the whole house at about 2-3 in the morning would just vibrate and shake, and things would just, you know, up on the second floor. And it's like, oh, okay, you know, things were quiet, went through sleep paralysis a couple of times, and it's like, okay, let that go. But then when I moved closer to where I am now, I remember coming back from a film shoot and this large iridescent light going across the road. This pretty about the size of a deer, and it would go up way over top of what a stop sign would be, really high up. And the only way, like, I really had to question it. And I was with somebody I was filming with who, you know, we still live under the same roof. And I just looked at it, and he goes, did you see that? I'm like, thank you, because I just don't want to be that guy that says, did you see that? So anyway, we figured a deer jumping over a road, a two-lane road, would have to pick up a lot of speed to go that high. First off, there was a 450-foot drop into a river. There was nowhere to run to pick up speed and go over, and they're not iridescent. And, you know, when we stopped the car to look, there was nothing. That was the first time of things starting to happen. And I finally just came to terms with the fact that things were happening. I said, okay, I think I'm ready. And within, I would say, a week or two, this huge light came blasting in through the bedroom window and hit a mirror in my ensuite, bounced back out. Now, the manor house that we had at the time had a tower in it, and it was quite high. And across the street from it was a large church, the big old stone church. So I'm trying to experiment with lights and, you know, watching traffic coming by, on which happened only on occasion. It couldn't reach up there at all. So put that out of my mind, like, okay, that was a thing. And I just said to myself telepathically, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm ready. That's fine. I'm just going to do this. And one night before I fell asleep, I was just settling in to go to bed, and I turned off all the lights, and I had these shears, so the light from the outside could come in, and it just brightens up the whole upstairs. And I look, and there was a gray standing right there, probably about 4 feet high. And I looked at it, but it was just looking at me, close enough to touch. And I just remember saying, nope. I just rolled over. No, I don't think so. I take it back. I'm not ready. Anyway, whatever the case may be, when I look back, you know, it was just gone. Very respectfully, it was just gone. But from that point on, we started getting strange things happening. I would get downloads. I would often feel hands on my head. And before I was ready to accept the fact that they were giving me downloads or taking information, whatever the case may be, I felt it one night and may have said something along the lines of, you know, touch me and I'll break your arm. So that stopped for a while until I said, okay, you know, I really was a bit like up and down, like with a bad case of whiplash with whether I wanted to accept this or did not want to accept this. But then we started noticing that the whole upstairs of the manor house would be pitch black at night. And there's no way that can happen, because the church had this big security light and street light across the street. And when it came in through the tower windows, it would light up the entire hallway going back to the old servants' quarters. And we couldn't see anything. You couldn't even see your hand in front of your face when it got really dark, and everything would go very silent. And we just noticed they started spending time in the house, and we, you know, started doing research, and I saw that, okay, they don't really like LED lights. They don't like lights on average. So we started keeping the whole upstairs part of the house, which we didn't use. We just left it alone. And we could hear them walking around. It was a haunted house. We could tell the difference between our spirits and the erratic, I say behavior, but the heaviness of the footsteps and such that we would hear when ET was there. And people would catch them, you know, behind me, things like that on occasion on the show, things like that. So we just became very used to it. And now it's just they communicate quite a bit and we have a lot of fun with them.
Wow.
Amazing. I know, it's a tale, isn't it?
It's a tale. So you might have said this, but how old were you when this was happening?
Well, it started with me as a child, really. I have recollections as early as about 5 years old. And my grandfather used to, you know, my whole family, aside from, you know, the fact that we're all negative blood types, both sides of my family, which is kind of weird, but, you know, we all have been experiencers. I asked my mother before she passed, I said, okay, I need to know, you know, my father would be very open about the fact that, oh yeah, we saw them all the time. But she would say to me, no, my father used to have a telescope and watch the skies all the time. My grandparents owned an island on a very large lake up north, and they would see things all the time. It was just wasn't a weird thing. And then she said to me, but you know, she said, your sister was supposed to be a twin. I'm going, oh, she goes, no twin. I delivered one baby.
Wow.
But ultrasound showed.
Two.
Initially. Yeah. So it was just stuff like that. And I'm thinking, how did I not know this? And so I had so much paranormal stuff happen to me. And it wasn't until literally later in life doing what I'm doing now, and you know, that I realized in the last couple of decades how connected the two really are.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. God, times are changing. You know what else I was watching yesterday? I think I was a Sunday here in Australia. It was yesterday for me. And I think I was watching pretty much stuff all day. But the National Geographic channel on YouTube was streaming all this David Grush stuff, like all this. Like, it's out there. It's no longer strangeness or woo-woo. It is now mainstream news, which is so exciting.
Right.
I mean, the National and so it's going out to millions and millions and millions of people. Like, they're just streaming it on a loop, this conversation. This is the National Geographic Channel. You know,
yes.
It's just amazing. Amazing, amazing. So what I want to know is, I'm so curious. I've always got a curious mind. When this stuff was happening, I guess you didn't realize that you have guidance that you could talk to at the time when you're a kid, but did you ever ask your guidance then or since, you know, what's my contract with the ETs? Like, what's the plan? Why are they contacted? Why is it in my family? Like, what's going on?
Not being young, I just knew I had a crazy fascination, you know, for the stars. I love the moon. People say that, oh, the moon isn't real. It's not real. It just got moved in. I don't care what the heck it is or where it came from. All I know is I've always loved it. And I would just, you know, watch it all the time. It's bizarre. I was a weird kid. I'm a weird adult, but I was a really weird kid. And
I'm going to correct you. Not weird, normal, just expansive, not weird, expansive. We've got to change the language, the vernacular around all this stuff, you know, right. and make it more mainstream. This was really one of my passions, to go on media to make psychic ability, deliberate creation, ET contact, a normal conversation, you know, and the weirdness of being a weird kid. Like, these are now normal kids. Like, kids are all like that now. Yeah. Anyway, but please go on.
No, really. It for me, it was just a part of the things that I enjoyed. I watch the skies all the time. I come from a family that were very open about discussing paranormal, spirit guides. You know, I think if I would have asked about extraterrestrials, they would have straight up told me, because they were all night watchers. You know, it wasn't hard to come out growing up in the north and seeing things out there. I mean, I remember one night coming home and, you know, sat down and watched a craft come through. We lived in a valley by a lake, and this craft just shot through, stopped. And for 20 minutes, I watched it descend over, you know, a neighboring mountain, which there were lakes back there. And I was very comfortable with it. Very, very silent. And then when it took off, probably about 15 minutes later, didn't think anything of it, shot right up, stopped, and then just went in a totally different direction. The next day, there were military helicopters all over the valley. So definitely they caught sight of it. So this sort of stuff wasn't out of the norm for me. I wasn't afraid of it, but I didn't think much beyond that. It wasn't until, like I say, you know, we spent a couple of decades working in a field of high strangeness, and a lot of the families I worked with, at least half of them were having extraterrestrial experiences. So yeah. I thought, okay, so there's this connection. And I started questioning my own thoughts about the things, the paranormal things in my life. Were they really paranormal? Some of the aspects of it almost mirror one another. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So how do you define paranormal? Like, what's your definition of paranormal?
High strangeness. anything that's not considered. Well, I mean, how do you define it? Something that some of us think this stuff is quite normal.
I find it really normal now.
Things are going on all the time. I'd walk in the middle of the day and have a voice saying, well, hello. And I'd be like, hey. Wayne, where are you? there's a guy I can't see over here, you know. And I mean, mediumship wise, it's like I'm aware of him. I'm happy enough, you know. It's just friendly. Things would just come in and out all the time. Doors would open and close right in front of you. You see doors swing open, walk by, thank you. Just keep going to the back of the house. You know, it wasn't weird, but defining paranormal for me is normal. It's just something that cannot always be explained. You know, I've done so many TV shows where people have just said, oh, you're an expert in this. No. I am a student in this, because there are no such thing as experts in a field of something that cannot be explained. All you can do is share your theories and hypotheses and hope that you hit on something that leaves a question mark, so you can keep going and keep researching it and hoping to keep finding something. So it's not something definitive that slaps you down and says, nope, this is not anything, so move on. You want that question mark. You want to keep going so you can keep researching this anomaly or whatever it is that you're seeing or experiencing.
I know. There's so much to know. There's so much to learn.
Yes.
Yeah, there's just so much, so much. But this whole hauntings, the way we, as humans, the way we, you know, talk about this stuff, as in spooky, woo-woo hauntings, you know, we love to thrill ourselves. We love to be scared. We go to haunted houses and play. Like, we just love the thrill of being scared or terrified. But when you realize it's like, there's that great movie, The Sixth Sense. Have you seen it? You know, about the little boy, I See Dead People. You know that movie?
Signs.
The Sixth Sense. Signs was the one.
I've seen them both. Guys, it was interesting. I have seen it. Yeah.
So it was like a horror movie, and it was scary. It was like, I was scared. I was like jumping out of my seat. But at the you know, spoiler alert, at the end, this little boy is seeing ghosts, which is haunting him. But really, he is a ghost, I think, at the end. No, or is he? No, the But in the end, it's just people that have crossed over, and this is segueing into what we want to talk about, who have been killed violently, who are stuck in some astral realm that are reaching out to him for help. And then when he realizes that these are just spirit or personalities that have left their body that are needing help, now he wasn't scared anymore, you know, and the whole movie is about him being terrified. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, you know, I think fear is ignorance for many people. We call it hauntings or bad spirits or malevolent spirits. You know, we can be scared of it, but really, anyone that's evil or fearful on earth or in other realms is just somebody that doesn't understand who they are, really, and that they're an extension of. So how did you get into speaking with spirit and hauntings and, you know, moving spirit on? Like, I called this helping spirit heal today, because you talk a lot with beings in other dimensions who are stuck in these negative loopings and attachments. And how did you get into that, Michelle?
for me, again, as a child, I was seeing, you know, people, deceased people from a very young age. It wasn't discouraged in me. I think part of the issue why children have a hard time accepting it, like when you mention the movie, you know, this is a child, they don't always understand these spirits coming to them looking for help. It's like, we don't understand. Like, we barely understand the fact that we see you. So parents, instead of for the most part, because I've dealt with a lot of families in this situation, so I can base what I'm going to say on my experiences with these families. But there are, when you have a parent who hears a child say, well, I have an imaginary friend, or there's someone here, sometimes they get things like, well, you are being silly, there's no such thing, don't say things like that, you're being stupid. Yeah. So the child who should be able to rely on their family members, you know, for guidance, are not always getting it. Instead, they're being taught to clamor down and not talk about it at all. I did not have that problem. My family was very, very supportive, because I came from, especially on my mother's side, really a lot of intuitive people. They, you know, like great grandparents were like healers. They had shaman. Like, I mean, it really, a long line of, you know, people who could deal with seeing dead people. So it was encouraged in me, and I was shown photographs. Oh, well, does anybody here look familiar? So I could see, oh yes, this person. Oh, well, this is your uncle so-and-so, and he passed away, blah, 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 blah. So it wasn't discouraged in me at all. My father was kind of funny with it. It wasn't until I was an adult where he actually started sharing all of his experiences. And I'm like, oh, you made me feel like a weird little kid, because you know, the house was settling or something crazy like that. I really wasn't hearing or experiencing anything. So it was from a young age. And just seeing things as we moved along, malevolent things started coming in, you know, the whole puberty thing and the projection of energy and had something really malevolent come in and just really, you know, wreaked havoc in the home. But again, I think a lot of that now was my projection of energy, just full on psychokinesis, crazy, you know. And people have a hard time accepting the fact that we're powerful individuals. It's not always paranormal. But there is. I won't say I didn't have all that. I did. But when you learn how to control the energy, you learn how to control the situation.
Yeah. Yeah. So I remember when I was young, learning about all this stuff, I heard about spirit attachment and I'm like, what is all this about? And I was given an experience of it. Like, I just was dropping a friend off who was born under the drug thalidomide, and she was very sick. She was very sick, and she was like exhausted all the time. And I remember saying to her, God, I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm in my early 20s. I just feel like someone's plugged into me and sucking all my energy out of me. That's what I felt. And then when I spoke to my guides about it, they said, well, you wanted to know what it felt like to have spirit attachment.
That'll do it.
Now you know. And I'm like, okay, now I know. I don't want to do that again. But I think that as we, you know, create vibration through our thinking, our negative thinking, our positive thinking, like attracts like. And so energies attract energy. And people who are depressed or alcoholics or drug addicts or in rage or hatred, they're attracting those energies, right? Spirit attachment, you could call it spirit attachment or thought form attachment. When did you have, what was your first experience with that?
Well, I know something had come in that was out of the norm probably when I was about 13. That golden age, you know, major emotional upheaval called puberty. And even though it started much earlier, I think I was full blown, you know, hell on wheels by the time I reached 13. And by the way, women going through menopause go through the same thing.
Yeah.
Just what a lot of people don't realize. Like, we're emotional creatures, we women. And when we put out that energy, you may as well head for a bunker or something, because, you know, it's becomes a whole survivalist thing after that. But for me, I started noticing difference. So I knew, you know, a lot of it was projection, but that projection brought in something else. Uh-huh. And it, you know, you'd feel the heaviness. You would feel, you know, you were always hearing things going on and like doors opening and scratching and banging around and foul smells, which a lot of it is also extraterrestrial, which I've come to learn. Foul smells, sulfur, people like, okay, demons, aliens too, more than anything. And and I knew that they had been around me my whole life. So now it's like you start piecing things together. But I mean, I would have people, and I'm not even in the house, so I'm not projecting energy. I'm not there. And all kinds of things would happen. You know, we've had somebody that was over walking up the stairs from the basement. He'd gone to the basement to get something, and something, hand on his back, hit him with such force. Like, he literally said he went up about four steps.
Whoa.
So it's like, I believe that human spirits just don't necessarily have the energy to project that kind of force, moving heavy things like refrigerators and, you know, like heavy things is not a human spirit trait on an average. It just, it's hard for them to muster that up.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. I was talking to Preston about this, and he said that, but they can learn, like you can learn. I had a beautiful spiritual teacher on the show many times, actually, called Michael Tamora, who has since passed. He left his body quite recently, a few months ago. And he said he was in Scotland, and he was in some old place, a church or something, and he was very versed with spirit, speaks with spirit all the time. And he saw all these, was it Scottish or Irish? Anyway, pickpockets in spirit haunting people and you know, freaking them out, which was part of the appeal of the place, like the tourists used to go to get haunted.
Right.
And he asked them, do you want me to help you, you know, move on? Do you want some help? And they said, no, we're having too much fun.
See, it's tough. See, that's another really big thing. Some people get really, like, they don't like, they don't feel that you should move a spirit on if the spirit doesn't want to go. But I think it depends on if the spirit is happy, then okay. But what about if you have spirits who just are really possessive and angry? I really am a firm believer in the fact that you can be moved on and come back without all the earthly baggage and still have that same good time and still stay in that spot that you love so much, but without all the baggage. That's all you, I think you have to do is make a spirit person realize, like, no, you get to come back and forth as much as you want. There's no rules with this kind of thing. I mean, unless you're a real tyrant, but then you know, you would have a harder time making it otherwise. And it's like when you see a child. I mean, I have so many friends who own incredible haunted locations, and they're very good to their spirit individuals. I mean, there's some people who are just, they don't care about the spirits there at all. It's just, it's a money-making thing.
Right.
So you cross that line many times when it comes to spirit rescue and healing and things like that.
Yeah. I want to get into this. So this is because I'm not used to doing live. I'm so used to just to have two of us record. I used to record my shows and then upload them. I forget about the amazing audience that's listening and writing comments. And I just want to shout out to you guys because some of the comments have been hilarious. Somebody said, I think Adrian, was it you that said, maybe we need to give it a new name and call it Paraboring?
There you go.
I thought that was hilarious. Oh, that's right. You can bring that up. I forgot.
Yeah, sure can.
And there's been some great comments and questions. And we're going to get into some questions soon. Does Michelle have children of her own? And what are their experiences? I'm finding some things are genetic. Yeah, we spoke about the genetics, that it was in your family. Do you have children of your own?
Oh, I do.
Yeah.
Myself, because they're all, you know, adults. And yes, it's funny because I had always said, you know what, there's no place for the children and paranormal in my world, because I had experienced so many crazy things and there was a great degree of malevolent activity. And I did not bank on the fact that my children would see so much. And I had a daughter who's very clairvoyant, clairaudient. You know, I'd hear her at night just saying, like, y'all just shut the hell up. I can't even get any sleep in this house. And she was 14, you know, and I'm going, God, that sounds really serious. And she had wanted to, she'd wanted to just sort of put that ability aside. I said, you know what? I didn't like hearing them when I was young, and I stopped listening. And it, it's harder for me now to tap back into that. Sometimes it's very easy, but I find that if it's something I really want on that spot, it's just, I still have difficulty sometimes connecting like that. And then I had another son, like my middle son, because I've got two sons, and he would see incredible things, almost like he could see interdimensionally. And he'd say, no, he, you know, even the living, he could just see interdimensionally, see like, he was, he once said, it goes, he would kept seeing this family friend, their father, and he wasn't deceased. And I'm just like, I don't know how you're seeing. And he goes, I don't know either. Or he'd say to me, don't you see that little boy playing right there? If I was haunted, I'd know. It's my soul. That's the best I could come up with. But it wasn't. He was seeing dimensionally. So there's different abilities, and they would see things in the house all the time. I remember trying to break it to my daughter one time that we had a spirit in the house. And I'd say, okay, so, you know, sometimes when you're downstairs, you know, things happen. She was, oh, you're talking about Bill. I'm like, she told me. She goes, no, my friends see him on the webcam when we're chatting. And yeah, he's a guy who hung himself on the property way back when. He wears a plaid shirt and a trucker hat, that guy. And I'm going, yeah, that guy. She goes, oh, yeah. And he loved the cats, and she would sweep the cat out of her way. She was coming down with laundry, and he would chuck her over onto the couch, laundry and all, for just gently sweeping the cat out of the way. Or one time she said, oh, I woke up one night and I could feel like he was in the bed with me. He was 18. You know, she was 15 at the time. And I'm going, what did you do? She goes, I stayed on my own side. I'm like, no, wait, that's just so wrong. And I realized at the time, okay, time to clear the house, because he was depressed. And when he hung himself through depression, and we could feel it. And whenever he was around and he was going through that cycle, we could feel the heaviness in the house. And then she would get depressed because he seemed to gravitate towards her because she was probably closest to his age.
Interesting.
Yeah. And they've all had ET experiences, and nobody wants to talk about that though.
They don't want to talk about it. Even with mom doing this and talking to millions of people about these conversations.
My daughter sort of like, she had night terrors and things like that, and still occasionally does. My youngest son remembers telling me a story where he was being pulled out of the house through the wall in a window. And he said the window wasn't open. And he grabbed onto the window ledge, and he was up by the ceiling and just held back and said, no. And then he just dropped down. Thankfully, he landed on his bed.
Was he in his physical form or astral form?
Physical form. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which made me give you all kinds of different hypotheses with that. But he goes, and he said, no. He goes, I was up there. Because I said, oh, were you leaving the body? Because my other son could astral, like there's nobody's business. And he just said, nope, pretty sure it was physical because I could feel the wall. Like I was grabbing onto the window ledge, like this, as I was being pulled out.
Wow. God, there's so much to talk about. I'm going to shout out to a few of my tribe that are online, Kristen and Shirley and Desley. Hey, they've put in some comments here. Thanks for tuning in, guys. They're part of the Inner Sanctum group. We get together a couple of times a month to, you know, on Zoom and have these discussions, and I invite a guest teacher once or twice a month.
I love it.
I will continue to do, and I'll do it after we do the live streaming. I'll probably get someone on the show and then ask them to stay for another hour or so to like meet people, you know, sort of live on video, because it's great to have the feedback. It's also great to see people's faces. Okay, so the question I want to ask you is, what was the first time that you helped a spirit heal? Like you saw that there was this person that was, you know, in another realm, sort of stuck there, and you could help them move into the light or move on or cross over. We've been given many names for this sort of thing. What was that first time?
Or I don't remember. Yeah, I don't remember my exact first time, because I had been seeing spirits from a young age. It was easier for me when I was much younger. I think maybe because I had more of an innocence then, and I was more naive to other things, and maybe they felt more comfortable coming in. And I think I could just see more clearly, you know, more clearly than before life got a hold of me and my schedule became crazy. You know, I mean, I always say, if I left a glass on the table and went to work and come home, would you say, and the glass has moved, would you say the glass moved, or would you say I left it on the table? I'm a medium, and I would say, oh yeah, I left that on the table. I don't think the fact that, oh, wait a minute, that's moved. So I think as we end up getting busier through life, we just don't pay attention to the world that goes on around us in a spiritual manner. But but I remember being younger and I was on a hike somewhere and I saw a young man and it looked like he had a gunshot wound to the head. Part of the head was missing and he was just wandering. And I don't know how old I was. I mean, it was safe where I grew up in the valley. We could walk anywhere through the mountains. I'd go rock climbing and tracking through mountains when I was 8 or 9 by myself, like no problems. And I remember on one of these excursions having, you know, seeing this young man, and I just kept saying, you're dead, you're dead. And he just, you know, he just sat there. I could only see a part of his face. And I just like, you're dead. You need to go. You're just supposed to be here. Like I wasn't even fancy about it because I really didn't know any better at that point. And I just remember him just sort of having light come around him at that point where it wasn't before. And then he just sort of disappeared. So I have to assume that, you know, he had moved on because he just became full of light and then he just disappeared.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, you know? It can be so easy, right? It can be so easy.
Well, I think it's because my family, like my mom was really good about that. My aunts, my uncles would be like, no, it's okay. This happens and you don't have to be frightened about it. I wasn't one of those kids that was discouraged from talking about it. So if I saw somebody, it was easy for me to just say, oh, you're dead. Now I've had incidences. I remember being in the Pyramid of Egypt and they allowed me access way, way, way down. I mean, I crawled down on my belly down this long, long shaft. And I was supposed to have come up in the alleged queen's chamber, but I came up in a chamber and there was a spirit individual there. And it looked like somebody who'd just been, you know, like sort of a, like a, you know, like wasn't wearing a tunic, had no shirt and just had like a white wrap around from the waist down, you know? And I just looked up at him and I went, you're dead. Just so you know, I'm trying to be diplomatic, but in a way I'm going, you're dead. Like, you know, like you shouldn't be here. Like you maybe, you know, it's just someplace else. You have family to meet you. And, you know, he looked at me and went, you're dead.
Really?
And I went, maybe it's all me. Yeah, I turned back up, crawl back up my shaft. And yes.
Well, now, isn't that interesting? Well, he's in his reality and you're in yours and you're arguing who's dead and, you know, who's dead and who's not. In my reality, I'm alive. In your reality, you're alive. Like, who's the dead one?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
How do you argue that?
Maybe
I'm just looking at, like, as Joe would say, dimensional bleed through. But it was intelligent because when I said that, it was just like, you're dead. All right. Okay, maybe it's all me. I turn around, climb up my shaft, go back up to where I came from. And I chalked it up as an experience. And I mean, all kinds of people went down after me and nobody had any sort of interaction with this person. Nobody came up. And I wasn't there like paranormally. I was on vacation. I wasn't there to have a paranormal experience or like I would now if I went. It would be a whole metaphysical event. But then it was not. I was just a tourist.
Yeah. Well, this is where a curious mind, I think, is really important because what we can experience is a few different things. So let's get into the categories. You talked about seeing ghosts or what we call ghosts, which are people that have been physical who are now in an astral realm that might not absolutely know that they're dead, or maybe they do, but they're stuck because they're looping, they're in their anger, they're in their whatever, their resentment, they're hanging on. And then there are bleed throughs, and then there is thought form and memory. Yes. Like you can see memory and thought. Do you want to go into the different things that you can perceive as a psychic?
For me, I mean, things that you can perceive, everything for me is vibration and frequency. So when I see something, I don't always see like a physical person. Sometimes I'm just looking at like a resonance. Sometimes I'm just picking up on a frequency. I know I don't physically see it. I'm not clairaudient with everything. As far as my abilities go, can I see stuff? Yes. Can I always see stuff when I want to? No, it just doesn't work that way. But I think as a projection of energy, when you're thinking of telekinesis or psychokinesis, projection of energy can mean many things. It, you know, you can get those cupboard doors to open and close. You can hear those footsteps. You can see those shadow individuals. We can project so much. We're powerful individuals.
Yeah.
You know, having this human experience, we're energy beings ourselves. So when you can see something moving about, sometimes, especially what we learned at the manor, you know, we're hearing all this stuff. We see absolutely nothing, but we're hearing everything. For me, I've always been fascinated by voices and sounds and energy, more so than seeing a physical apparition. Because I do believe in mindset. I do believe that sometimes we can see something almost like pareidolia in a photograph. You know, you can get pareidolia for sound, like a type of sound. You can get a type of pareidolia for video imaging. It's not always what it seems, and you can't always trust everything you see.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a big one. In this field, it's a real big one.
It is. And I always tell my tribe and my students, ask. If you don't understand what you're looking at, ask. Ask your mob. Ask your guides. Ask your angels. Ask your higher self, your soul, whatever whoever that knows more than you know in that moment of experiencing something. Like, what am I seeing? What is this? Can you explain it? Show me. Show me. Show me in a way that my human mind understands.
Yes.
Remember, I'm wearing a human mind, got the human ego going on. So show me in a way that I can get this from that perspective. Yeah, show me, show me, show me. So what do you, I'm just, hi, Dolly. Dolly's online and Sherry and Catherine. And I'm just looking at the people. Hi, great to see you all here. And who else? Oh, and Diane tuned into just saying hi to my tribe. And a few people, a space for soul and guardian, whoever you are, hello. And probably your tribe. And what is a bleed through? How do you explain bleed throughs?
Well, bleed through, there is a belief, you know, that dimensionally there's so many different lives that you could live different lives simultaneously and such. So when somebody passes on, how do you know you're not just catching, you know, you were thinking we're dealing with ghosts, but what if we're dealing with that person just coming through in this life, like in this dimension? Maybe that person, and then sometimes it looks slightly different. Have you ever heard of cases where for example, the demon people will say, no, it's a demon if they look different when you see them, like, you know, their clothes are too big, or their eyes are really dark, or their hair is not the same. You know, I've heard this story so many times. But realistically, what if it is just, it's like a doppelganger? How do you know you're not getting a bleed through coming in just dimensionally? We're so close. And when you factor in all of the power spots, portals, vortexes, things like that, ley lines, like energy places where different beings who are well not dead, they're just coming in from somewhere else and they're just coming right through. If you can remote view, then you would know dragons are still around. Just saying.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You can see things in the spirit realm that comes through. How do you know where all these incredible beings and dragons and Loch Ness Monster? Maybe you're not finding because you're going through a portal.
Yeah.
You see, bleed throughs are just coming through. They're just projecting through your energy. You don't have boundaries. You're not bound by time and space the way you are in a physical form.
Well, actually, we're not bound by time and space, even in a physical form, because we have our minds. We can go
all
anywhere.
In here. Manifestation is a thing, you know.
Yeah,
in fact, we manifest. We can manifest all kinds of things. I guess is what we're talking about. You know, we can manifest anything.
Yep, absolutely. Someone asked a question way back when, how do I manifest an ET experience? Yeah, you can do that if you want to do that. Absolutely, absolutely. Bleed throughs. Yeah, I love that. I remember sitting at a concert one day and I looked down at my body and I was sitting in a little brown body like an Indian, American Indian, and I was looking at my arms and it was brown, you know, not this fleshy white skin. And I was having, I guess, I don't know what you call that, Michelle, a bleed through, like I was just sitting in a different body. I mean, nobody looking at me would see a different body, but I was experiencing it. And there was something about the music that was playing and this past life, future life, I don't know where she was coming from, the past or the future, that was connected to the music that was playing that I was now experiencing. There was like a bleed through of lifetimes happening in that moment. Right. Is that what you would call it? Would you call that a bleed through?
I think bleed throughs could fall under, many things could fall under a bleed through. Mm-hmm. For me, when I look at it from a paranormal point of view, and people said this is a spirit of a deceased person coming through. No, maybe it's not. Maybe that person is well and alive on another side, on another dimension, right? They're all stacked on top of one another. You don't know that they're just not slowly just breaching into here. When you leave your body, how do you know you're not going into another dimension? You're not living another life. Do you think you stay in your body when you sleep at night? Why would you do that? It's crazy. It's like sleeping in the car in the garage. You don't do that. You know, I get out of the car. The car stays there and I move on and I do my thing. The same idea.
Right. That's a great analogy. I've never heard anyone say that. It's like sleeping in the car.
But doesn't it make sense? I'm going to park the car, sit in the garage. I'm going to stay here all night with it. We're here because we exist in this physical place. We use this physical to get around, and we don't necessarily need to, but no one else is going to see you. When someone passes away, you know, we grieve the loss of the physical, that person, because we can't physically see them every day. But it doesn't mean they're not there with you. They've just shed their skin. They've evolved into another level. They just go back to where they started. You know, this is why sometimes when you're still hearing people, it's just, maybe that's what it is. They just shed their skin.
Yeah.
What is death? You know, what is death?
What is death? This is such, I call it exiting the matrix. But this is such an important conversation for humanity at large. You know, when I first started on radio and podcasting, I realized quite early on, so it was like, I don't know, 15 years ago now, that conversations around death and the afterlife were the ones that were getting the most attention. And many people who start podcast shows, you know, interview NDEs because humanity at large is asking that question, what happens when you die? Because when I asked my guides years ago, you know, what's the thing that creates the most pain for humanity? How can I address that? They said, well, your understanding of death creates a lot of suffering in your world. And I said, yeah, it does, right? This understanding of death, that we've lost someone, and this grief phenomena is just so huge because we feel the loss of somebody. But I just really believe, Michelle, that this education, these conversations that I have with you and on other people, just needs to be mainstream education. We need to be educated about how to contact and be connected to other dimensions.
I don't think people want us to know that. I think that takes away the element of control, you know?
Well, yeah.
You know, you have to almost just to think that unless you go seeking out someone who can educate you, I don't think you would get it in mainstream education ever. But, you know, I think there are so many ways of doing it. I do a lot of planetary energy work with other light workers, and it's amazing the things that you witness. It's amazing the things that you can do, and everybody can do it if they just realize that, hey, I can do it. When you talk about NDEs, I had one when I was around the age of 9 or 10, and I just found myself like I could hold my breath for really long periods of time, and I would get in among the reeds and I would just float. And I guess I just floated a little bit too long. And next thing you know, all I could see is, you know, the darkness of the water and this light coming for me. And then all of a sudden, you know, like my friend's mother just says, okay, that's enough. Here you go. Like, dang, what was I about to see? It was incredible, you know. And it's been picked up, you know, people reading me, and it's like, did you know you had this? So, yeah, I'm pretty sure I remember that just fine. And it seemed to be a time where also things started happening in my life, paranormally speaking. So I tend to wonder as well, you know, did I catch someone's attention over there? But I also know I was really ill. This isn't a story I tell often, but I'll tell it on, you know, for your listeners. When my children were very little, I don't quite remember how old, but I'd had all three of my children, and I had them all by the time I was, you know, 30, 31. And I had an infection that somehow set in behind my eyes. I couldn't see, I couldn't hear, and it felt like someone was taking a pickaxe to my head. And this went on for, you know, doctor came to the house, whole nine yards. It was intense. After about 3 days of intense, just picture your worst migraine, like someone really is trying to drill a hole in your head. this voice kept coming to me and saying, are you done? And I, you know, I always kept seeing the faces of my children. I went, no, I'm not. I'll keep going. Another day went by, you know. Are you done? Are you sure? It's like, you know how you talk about those exit points that you're given? And by another day went by. And this was, I think, by the time day six, and the pain was intense. It's something even on medication that it just had to work itself through. I'd never experienced anything like that before, and never since. And finally, you know, that last time it goes, you know, you can come with us, like if you're done. I said, I am not done. I will never be done, and I will never leave my children. And you know, within about 3 hours, all that pain went away. It just went gone.
My God. So, are you done?
Curious as to thoughts on that one, because it was always a gentle voice, you know, and I was just like, I will never leave them. And if I have to sit like this for a month, I'll sit like this for a month. Because they were very little at that time.
Okay, can I tell you what I'm getting?
Yes.
Because I'm asking. It wasn't a malevolent spirit. It was your spiritual team actually, answering a request that you had before you hit this lifetime, testing you about your commitment to this lifetime. Actually,
right.
Yeah, they're sharing that you had asked for this experience. And it gave you in this human experience a renewed commitment to be here, to do what you were supposed to do. I mean, you said, no, I'm here for my children. But yes, you're here for your children, but you're also here for humanity.
Yeah,
the bigger picture.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't, I'm getting all shivers and goosebumps and I want to cry. So it was like you requested that experience.
I am a freaking idiot because that was the most painful thing. It was worse than childbirth. Okay.
I know because life ain't pretty, you know, physical life can be painful, but it was a test of endurance and commitment that you made to be here, to be in this physical life. Right. Yeah. You know, physical life offers up pain and suffering. This is what it offers us. They're showing me a past life where you had experienced some pain and you said you wanted to do something and you said, too hard, I'm out of here. And so it was a bit of like, can you renew my commitment? Can you renew my commitment?
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things that I found, another ditto with goosebumps, Kristen says, a resolve is tested in the, Dolly, ditto on the goosebumps. Yeah, absolutely. Oh God. So I'm looking at the time because there's so much I want to talk about. I want to talk about, and then I want to take questions too from people before we go. So this is an hour and a half show. I'm thinking I might need 2 hours in the future, but I want to talk about malevolent spirits simply because, and attachments and people crossing over. Michael Tamora, who did cross over recently, talked about how important it is for us to raise our vibe and get rid of our
negative thinking and our emotional looping before we die, because we can take that with us. And after we die, you know, keep repeating those experiences in an astral world. And they're called trapped souls or earthbound souls or whatever you want to call that. Or some people go to hell realms because they were in hell on earth, and they take that thinking with them when they die, and then they're in hell in another experience, and they kind of get into this mental looping. I want to talk about that. You know, what's your experience with that, and how important it is?
What's hell? What's hell? It's a mindset.
Mm-hmm.
These places are our mindsets. These places. Yeah. I mean, it's, I say that, but tell that to somebody who had an NDE, went to a dark place. I think you can go to dark places. Not that they're not there, but if you really start getting into the definitions of hell and the experiences that we're learning here. This is why we're here. We're here to learn. And we if we live simultaneous lives, you know, again, you're getting into, again, this mental thing, manifestation. As far as spirits that attach, I think that happens for different reasons. I think spirits get stuck for different reasons. Maybe, you know, unfinished business, maybe murder, maybe a car accident. Maybe they're just jolted out of the body. They don't even realize that they've passed on. And that seems to happen a lot in sudden death of any sort. And then you're getting into those spirits who are just attached to a place. If you're looking at old homesteads, for an example, and people were land wealthy back in the day, but the fear of God, they were God-fearing people in many cases. So what happens when, you know, you own a land, you're land wealthy, it's that land makes you who you are. It makes you somebody. Your children are born in the land. You may have been born on the land. The land sustains you. You know, back in the day, it's not like you could just go flick on a light switch. Like, you have to work very hard for that land. You die on the land. You're buried on the land. Well, when you leave the body, you're not necessarily going to leave the land. So you have attachment, you know, of property and things. And then you have those last messages. You didn't get to say goodbye to someone. Or maybe, hey, the will is in the clock. You know, it's something that simple. You know, maybe it's a parent who's passed and the child is passed and they're not together. And they're trying to connect up. Sometimes spirits can be in the same time and space, but they don't ever see each other, weirdly enough. There's many reasons why they're here.
Yeah. And how do you help them get out of their mental looping and let go of the resentment and the anger and the attachments to the land? And how does somebody that's in a physical body help someone in another dimension?
It's actually pretty easy. And one example I can give is a woman who was killed in a woman's shelter, murdered by this man. And she was there. I was probably 2 weeks before they found her. Don't ask me how. It was all individual apartments. It baffles me to this day how nobody checked up on this woman. But she also had a little bit of schizophrenia. And communicating with her was difficult because you could hear the voices with the, you know, this her schizophrenic brain and her anxiety. But connecting with her and saying, you can come back. She didn't want to leave her stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's all she had. Like, she fought hard just for that little bit of stuff she had. I said, so what? I said, move on. And all of these voices you hear will stop. And then you can come back here. So a couple of days went by. I checked on her. You know, it was like a crime scene cleanup people who brought us in to investigate, because she was there and very active. And it just made her realize that you can come back and forth as many times as you want. And after a couple of days of silence, she came back. And basically, she gave us the name of her killer. I passed that on to the gentleman who hired us to come in. And I say hired, brought us in, because we don't ever, never, ever charge for anything. But, you know, he goes, you're working for me right now. And I had to actually do crime scene, like cleanup stuff, right? It's not fun stuff. Yeah. But you know, I gave him my time, and I got to experience and work with this on a paranormal level. And she came back. And when I was tapped in with her, there was no more voices. There was no more pain. There was no more anxiety. And then I said, you went. And she said, yes. I said, you know, none of this matters. She said, no. And then she thanked me. And then that was the end of it. That was literally the end of it. And I think if you can make them understand,
yeah,
that it's okay to go, they come back. They worry about not being able to come back.
Yeah, interesting. So it's about education, educating spirit, healing spirit, educating spirit. But yeah, so when you said you went, she crossed over. She went over to the other side.
Yes. Wherever it is, we go, right? I mean,
and she kind of washed away all the resentment and the thought forms and the conditioning. It's like, I don't know, when you cross that veil, I don't know what you call
it. That threshold. You can't take that with you. It can't take it with
you. It washes. Yeah, it washes away. And yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you an interesting story. Wayne, who's always, you know, always on our chat rooms and share space in the house. His mother just had a really difficult life, but she was a bit hostile, shall we say. Gonna be nice. And yeah. So when she passed away, he watched her take her last breath. And that was it. All of a sudden she came back with a like this. And he almost stroked out. He goes, I swear to God, I was not expecting you to come back. Like it was last breath and down and quiet. But she came back like she was given an opportunity to fix herself. And she kept saying things like, I don't understand this train. They won't let me get on the train. I've got all my baggage sitting here. All my bags are here waiting to be loaded. They keep telling me I can't have them. And he's sitting there going, well, okay, because she had to figure it out for herself. She went for another 6 months before she passed away again. And the bag started being less and less and less as she started making peace with people she's wronged and her children and so on. And she would see that she'd see people all the time. She'd have somebody come in and she'd say, she looked at him and said, 1 minute, dear. And she's talking to a spirit girl. She goes, it's a very lovely cat, dear, but that's not my cat. My cat has no tail, but it's a lovely cat. Thank you for showing it to me. And he'd be just going, who are you and what have you done with my mother? Right? Just weird stuff like this. But the baggage became less and less. And in the end, she was an entirely different person. And she went peacefully in her sleep.
Wow.
It goes to show you can guide them. But she was given that opportunity and she was guided.
So you can either let go of the baggage in your physical body or let go of it in your astral body. But at some point, if you want to return to where we come from, you got to let go of the baggage. I mean, there are a lot of people who do die and they haven't sorted out their baggage, but they're evolved enough that when they do, they just leave it all behind and, you know, cross over straight away. I mean, it's not like every human being that's holding on. It's just the level of attachment, the level of how attached are you to your anger, your resentment, your righteousness, your attachment to, as you say, place or people or situations. Mm-hmm. How attached? I think the stronger the emotion, the stronger the attachment to your righteousness, then the harder it is to let go. So it's just that letting go process. Let go, let go, let go.
The fact that they make reference to it as bags. My bags are on the platform, because she was British. She's in England. I'm on the platform. My bags are sitting there. They're telling me I can't take them. She goes, I'm not leaving without them. And he was just kind of like, okay.
Fascinating.
The association to help her realize that as it stopped mattering, you know, things became easier for her and she started letting it go. I think the lesson in everything is realizing the physical is but the physical. We are beings of light having a very human experience. And everything that you amass here is a physical thing for your human self. And you can't take it with you. You don't need to take it with you. You know, it's manifest your life. I mean, you could be living in a matrix for all you know. So manifest good things, because when you manifest good things and it goes into the collective consciousness, you start to see a difference. And I'll tell you, I've talked about this on my show where I once did an experiment and I said, okay, I'm going to use this really ridiculous word that nobody used since the 50s. And the word was swell. Okay, just, oh, that's swell. I started hearing that freaking word on TV shows. I started hearing people talking about it. Like people would, I would hear a conversation, go, oh, that's swell. I'm like, what? Nobody uses this word anymore. What is this? So I started doing it with different, really obscure words, or I put out like some old TV show and I go, God, I haven't seen this TV show in ages. And I would keep putting out the name of the show. I started seeing it coming up on social media, which is okay. It's a phone listening. I chalked it up as that. But then I started hearing people just while I was out. Somebody goes, have you ever seen this show? I'd be like, huh. Maybe there's something to this thing. I don't know. Yeah. Is there? Can you imagine if it's that simple?
Yeah. I think it's extraordinarily simple. And as humans, we really complicate things.
Yes.
I mean, the Esther Hicks, you know, in 2004, I went on an Esther Hicks cruise, you know, the teachings of Abraham. And I came back thinking, oh, my God, I can manifest and create anything I want in my life, anything. And it's simple. All I have to do is feel good, think thoughts that feel good. So the thought of how incredibly simple it was struck me. And then putting that into action was a different story.
It was the manifestation part. Yeah.
Not the manifestation part, the thinking part, the like, just be happy all the time. So I'm thinking, oh my God, it's so easy to be happy. I'm a happy person. I know how to be happy. It's easier. All I have to do is be happy, feel good, think positive thoughts, and I'm going to attract positive things, put out a positive vibe. I'm going to attract. And then my husband does something, it pisses me off, and now I'm angry and I'm fighting and I'm like, oh my, hang on, that's not positive. And you know, and
because you're leaving that in your space too, right? Like you go out for a couple of hours, you come back and walk into all the angst that you created, and then you wonder why you're feeling foul.
Yep. I remember at that time, because it was a long time ago. What are we? It's like, well, 2004, 20, is that 20 years ago? Dang. 20 years ago. Anyway, I remember, you know, thinking about all this stuff all the time and having a fight with my husband, and then saying to my daughter, who was little at the time, come on, let's go out. And we went out. We went to a crystal shop. We had a lovely interaction with the lady in the crystal shop. I bought a crystal for my daughter. And then we went to the video shop next door, in the days where we bought DVDs and videos. And there was this hideous interaction where she brushed the crystal off the thing and she smashed it, and she went into this like screaming and yelling at us. And there was this hideous interaction. And as she broke my daughter's brand new crystal, and I went home and was complaining to my husband at the time, like, why did that happen? And, you know, we had such a lovely time in the crystal shop. And he said, you took that same energy with you from our fight out into life, and then, you know, experienced that with that interaction in the video shop. And I'm like, God, I did too, right? Like, I did that. I did that. I felt so victimized by this woman, but then I realized I created it. I manifested it. Yeah. Right. So the simplicity of life is, it's easy to think about it, but to actually do it, you're like, we've got to let go of the baggage, as you say, Michelle, like let go of the baggage.
It's hard. So, it's hard. We don't have control over all the situations that we encounter in life, but we do have control over how we handle it.
Right.
And in doing so, you can either do it with a positive vibration, which will attract more positive. Or, you know, you can do it on a more negative way. And that's where a lot of the angst stays with you and you keep reliving it. You just can't move forward from it. You know, as far as the baggage goes, you can't take it with you. So maybe turn your baggage into something more from the heart or the core and make it a trait as opposed to something physical.
Mm-hmm.
And don't worry about who gets what. In the end, you know, people like, well, I was supposed to have this. I was supposed to have this. You know, they're hanging back because of it. We have to start training ourselves to realize that it's not about the physical things we leave behind. Because then if we're worrying about who that person didn't get what I wanted them to get, it's little silly things that hold you back. Always, always let the people you love know you love them, because you may not be here tomorrow to do it. And you people get held back because I didn't get a chance to say this. I didn't get a chance to experience this. You always see me say, hey, for those who follow me, especially on Instagram, live, smile, live, love, laugh. Live your best life. Live your adventure. That's the stuff I post. So this is the type of stuff that I really do try to live by, because we're always evolving. Raise your vibration and keep it going, because it is, it's a fantastic ride. Life can be wonderful as much as it can be the other way, but you're in control of that, how you handle it.
Mm. This is a great question, Michelle. What's the best approach for the beginners to start talking to the guides?
Start talking. Just start talking. They listen. This is, I think if you can train yourself to listen through meditation, or you listen to binaural beats. Some people have a really hard time putting themselves in a meditation state. Lay on the couch, throw on some really good meditation binaural beats, and just clear your mind by concentrating on those vibrations. And you would be surprised the things that will come up. Train yourself to listen, and the answers are all there.
Yeah.
They are listening.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. I just keep going back to the message that I got just before we came on this morning from somebody who is not holding on to resentment in any way, shape or form. He's a light worker. He's full of love and light, but his message was that he's suffering from rage and anger, and he feels desperate. And so it's not like he is, I feel like he has spirit attachment, but he's not attached to, I think it's what I feel with him. It's like he's attached with not getting what he wants when he knows all this spiritual knowledge, especially about manifesting. How do I manifest, you know, the life I want? I want to heal humanity. I want to make a difference. I want money. I want this. I want love. I want to speak to my spirit guides.
Stop saying I want. That's part of the manifestation. You have to fool the universe into thinking you already have it. And you're like, where is it? Wait a minute. You should have $1 million. What happened? Why don't you have it? Okay, here it is. Stop saying I want, stop saying I need, because you're putting it out there. What you're putting out there is coming back to you. Need, want, but not do.
Right.
You want to live that best life? Do it.
Yeah.
Just do it in any capacity. I think we put a lot of pressure on ourselves in order, you know, like, well, we want to do this for humanity. I do a lot of energy work. I do a lot of planetary work. I have for years, and it takes a lot of training, and you have to work with the right people for it to be really effective. There's only do, and I do. And this is how you start doing incredible things, is you just keep going, you keep evolving in it. But we put pressure on ourselves. I'm not saying go do the whole planet. I'm just saying, because that takes time to learn. But what I'm saying is take a task and master that task. You know, whether you want to do for humanity, start with baby steps, start in your neighborhood, start with your neighbor, just smile at somebody one day. You know, people don't smile at each other very much anymore. People are so frowny and angry, and just spread that positive energy and watch the vibrations go up. Watch the difference. You will see it. It's like a chain reaction, paying it forward.
Absolutely. Create a momentum of thinking. Once you turn your thoughts from I'm not getting what I want to being grateful for what you do have, what you want, and then focusing on that. I think, too, we make it so important that if I don't get what I want, we make that so important. It's like, what if you don't get what you want? You're still here now. You still have the ability to love and to hug and to laugh and to, you know, feel good. Like everything we want, we think in the having of it will feel good. But feeling good is in our hands, right, Michelle? Mm. We're responsible according to what we're thinking. Oh, the time is ticking away. I've never met a spirit that's stuck what is she saying here? You put press show, I press show. Where is she?
I don't know. That one doesn't want to come up for some reason. Oh, there it is.
Oh, there it is. That stuck who is a comedian. I don't
don't know. I find spirit pretty funny, but they're obviously not the stuck ones. But they are always laughing at me, always laughing at me. So we've got, what have we got left? 10 minutes? No, we've got 10 minutes left. Is there any message? Has anyone got any questions that you want to ask myself or Michelle? The expert Michelle, don't call me an expert, she says.
Don't do it.
You know what I want to say about all this is the ETs have got most of what we're talking about down. You know, they know how to, they're interdimensional beings. They know how to focus their mind telepathically, telepathy. They know how to project their conscience. Like they've got that down. They are our educators. Like they are our educators. Humanity is just waking up to this education.
And as you say, take away the fear.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of fear being projected out there. They don't, nobody wants us to have that kind of connection. People are fearful. And I think because there's so much conditioning to religion that they feel that there's no place for something otherworldly. There really is. I mean, you go back and look at ancient texts and the Bible talks about the paranormal, talks about extraterrestrials, it talks about all of it. It's a wondrous world out there and it's been going on for a really long time. And I think people are so fearful that you end up with this incredible opportunity. And that's media that does that. It's media, it's conditioning. Don't be afraid. You see an extraterrestrial, like I said, I look at it, that poor thing. I'm sure they were getting whiplash because I'm like, nope, yep, okay, nope. You know, I got to a point where I just wanted to go to bed. I'm like, dang, if you're going to take me, just let me fall asleep first. I'm too tired to make the darn journey. But when I wake up, I'm good. Just whatever you want me to do, just throw me over there and I'll just do it. And I will be back in my sleep. I'm back in my room the next morning. I just want to believe that I had a good night's sleep. And it was really like that. So don't be afraid.
So Kristen's asking, is there a better word than woo-woo? At least you'd like to use something else.
What?
I guess, well, Michelle's been using paranormal, but... yeah, is there a better word than woo-woo paranormal?
Woo-woo.
You really do need to create a new vernacular around
woo-woo
all this.
Woo-woo's kind of cool. I like woo-woo. I've used it.
Cool. Yeah.
I tend to. I like woo-woo. Now, you know what? I look at everything. If it's far out there, it's just high strangeness to me. That's all. It's just something that is there to be figured out. Otherworldly is another word I like to use, but works with investigators. Another word other than woo-woo, I'd like to use something else. I don't know. I'd say stick with woo-woo because most of us use it and we like
it. How about interdimensional perceptual experience or something like that? Like interdimensional or a multidimensional perceiving perspective, multidimensional perspective. Yeah, I think we can come up with... you know, more
something
sort of
more high tech,
yeah. Right, that
as
that
opposed
can,
to making
we can inject because like we make up words all the time and they become a part of our vernacular. And a lot of the words around these subjects have been given because it's been called strange or woo woo or scary or you know, it's been put in like a basket that is outside the norm. And yeah, we've got to put it cosmic,
I tend to
cosmic. Otherworldly
is a good one. Yeah. Like I'll say otherworldly, high strangeness. It's such a vast area of research and it all ties together. I'm telling you, it all ties together.
It all ties together.
It does, absolutely. All of it.
Yeah, it absolutely all ties together. Whoa, well, this has been fun and gone so quickly. I'm looking at the time because I know there's another show. So coming up, what's the show coming up after this one?
Into the Night with Sean Kelly. It's also another show on the paranormal or high strangeness. Yes, and then, yeah, I know.
Or multidimensional perceptual experiences. And your show, who's coming up for your next show?
Oh, gosh. We have got for Wednesday night, we have got Jack Roth. He's done a lot of different shows. He's done stuff you guys may recognize as the Stan Romanek story. He's going to be on talking about his second film called The Seeding. So it's called Extraordinary The Seeding. So that's going to be on Wednesday night. And that was a fantastic show about extraterrestrials. And think about it, The Seeding.
Yeah, The Seeding. I think Geraldina Roscoe was in that. I love Geraldine. She's a friend.
It's going to Yeah, it's going to be wonderful. Cool. I'm so excited about it. Yeah. I'm a bit of a nerd when it comes to his films. I really like it. And then we have Mark Olley on Thursday night, who is an archaeologist out of the UK. And he's going to be talking about when, Dolly, hold on to your hat, try not to jump out of your seat. But he's going to be talking about the conspiracies surrounding the moon landing. Messenger, Dolly, messenger. You got questions, send them to me in advance.
I know. I have to get Dolly and Preston on and talk about all that sort of stuff. So how many times a week are you on? Are you on twice a week on the network?
Wednesdays and Thursday nights, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern time, 8 to 10 Central.
Wow, yes. You are busy. I forgot to do the call. Whoops. We got so into the conversation to remind people that we're listening to the United Public Radio Network, UFO Paranormal Network on 107.7 FM out of New Orleans and 105.3, isn't it? So yes,
I was supposed to
do that on the hour, but next week I've got Jeff Selver coming up, who has written a book called The Rising, and he is interacting and talking with the Greys, and it's so interesting when he talks. It's like he's just talking like spiritual wisdom, like a guru does, and yet the Greys are giving him all this information. So he's coming up next week on my next live show, so that's going to be fascinating too. And the UFO Paranormal Network. Now, we could change the name of that. What could we call it? The UFO, which stands for Unidentified Flying Object. We could call it the Galactic Star Family Radio Network.
Here for your viewing pleasure. Here we go.
Hi, Michelle and everyone. There's Julie. Hi. Thanks so much for the show. Yeah, thank you, Shirley. Thanks for tuning in. Dolly's laughing. Any last things? We've got 5 minutes. I think I've wrapped it up early. Any in the next couple of minutes you want to say before we go?
I would just really love to see people evolve, get along. This field, people will agree to disagree. There's a lot of things going on, and fear is a driving force that hinders people from wanting to learn or explore things that they may not really feel comfortable with. Always stretch it. Stretch your boundaries. It is an incredible world. Learn one thing every single day. I am known for my really detailed, in-depth research, and I consult in the creation of a lot of different shows and things like that. And I love the research. There's so much to know, so much that has been kept from us, and so much that will start to surface. Keep an open mind, because it's one hell of an incredible ride.
Absolutely. And I want to thank you so much for being my first live guest on this new platform.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me.
I felt so safe with you, because you know all the ins and outs. And it's been an incredible conversation, an absolutely amazing conversation about a multi-dimensional reality. So thank you again so much, Michelle, for holding my hand and getting me through this.
Pleasure.
We've got 3 minutes to go. I think there's a couple of comments. Joe Fox. Thanks, everybody. Energy is all related. It absolutely is, Dolly says. Great conversation. Thanks, Carolyn. Thank you so much.
Carolyn is also a host on our network, just so you know. She's the switchboard. Friday night, 6 p.m. Eastern. Yeah, she's awesome. Very gifted lady.
I look forward to getting to know some of the other hosts and some of the other shows. As I said, I was binge-watching your show last night, which was really fun, and having them all on my show and maybe coming on their shows as well.
You guys would blend in really well. Absolutely. Yeah. We're one big happy family here, and the crisscrossing is always really a lot of fun. It's great.
How many shows on the network? Is it 9? Did I count 9 or 10?
Oh, no, there's a lot more than that.
How many shows on the network?
Off the top of my head, I'm not really sure. I've added so many new shows, and there's more coming. So you guys would just have to go to the website to see all that, which is, let me put it up while we're here. There we go. Go, and then you can go and see what all the shows are. We're still updating. We have to add yours, for example, and you know, like I said, lots coming. We have daytime shows as well, not just nighttime shows. So there's a whole other lifestyle sort of stuff coming up. I mean, well, just alone, Monday alone has probably got six shows.
Wow. It's, well, all just, different. You know, depending on where you are on the planet. I mean, this is daytime for me. We're coming up to 11 a.m. daytime. So I said to my tribe,
be at least 15 here, yeah,
in Australia, because it's prime time, I think, Sunday afternoon, evening in the US, which I think is a good time, but it's a Monday morning down under for New Zealand and Australia. And many people are at work at this time, but I said, don't fret. Thanks, Catherine. don't fret. You know, the recording will always be there for people. Okay, I think we're coming up to the minute. We're there. Let me see if I can play this music. Here we go. Thanks again for listening and watching. Thanks, everybody. The music playing? Not quite playing yet. There we are. Thank you. Thank
you. Pleasure.
Bye for now. Thanks, everybody.